We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build. This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves, no matter where they came from. Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
I'm
it.
I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to Virtually Limitless. This is your co-host, Justine Mader, and I am absolutely stoked for this upcoming interview. Guys, I have Mario Armstrong in the house. And if you do not know who this gentleman is, you are about to have your socks blown off because this guy is phenomenal. He is not only a creator and mentor for people across the globe, but he's done things with Damon John. He's got an award-winning show. Like, you guys, I could just go on and on, but better than that, I'm going to let the man introduce himself. Mario, welcome to Virtually Limitless.
Justine, it's so good to be here. Thanks so much for having me. Really excited to talk to you and the family and all the listeners out there. I'm a two-time Emmy Award winner. And only production company, Never Settle Productions, as well as a second company called Mario Armstrong Media. In business with my wife for 10 years. We went broke pursuing our dream, like legit broke. Like we had a $286,000 deal with AOL at the time that was going to jumpstart the business. And that's when we basically filed the papers, did the LLC, all that good stuff. This is 2007. And I had gotten laid off from my day job, but I was a side hustler doing my thing in the media. So I was doing all types of things already on radio and doing it in the local Baltimore market and was really building up my media chops. And then got to the point where I was actually on NPR. I was doing things for Morning Edition and stuff like that. And so then we decided, hey, there is this thing that you have going on. We could really turn this into a business, convince my wife to run this company. And then the recession hit, right? So we're launching a company right in 2008. And before the recession hit, the real bomb drop was, and I just wanted to give this for context, because I know everyone's got a painful story if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a real entrepreneur. But everybody's pain is relative to what their position was in life when they got to that pain. So we were doing pretty good. We have 4 bank accounts. We were like doing the American dream type of thing. Yes. But it all got ruined real quick because about 2 days before the contract with AOL, which is $286,000 that was supposed to go down, we signed our papers, and we were actually driving from Baltimore, Maryland to Dulles, Virginia on I-95 South, which is Dulles is the headquarters for AOL. We're driving there. We get the phone call from David. Oh, God bless him. But David, man, he waited until the last absolute minute to call us to tell us that the deal wasn't going through. We were on our way there for the signing party.
I cannot imagine. Let that drop, you guys. Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine. Like, did you stop the car, squeak the brakes?
Yeah.
Like, what the heck?
You swerved over the side of the road.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it sounds funny now, but it wasn't. It was on speakerphone. My wife is right there, my business partner and wife. We have our 5-year-old son who's being watched by my mom. Just left my mom and dad. Was like, hey, this is great. We're going to sign this deal, mom. Thanks for watching, Christopher. Like, this is actually happening, mom. Can you believe it? Like, we're going to, you know, launch this company.
All of that.
And all of that. And so he basically said he knew two or three days prior, but he couldn't call because he just couldn't muster up the courage. He knew what it meant to us. And basically a new CEO came in and had put a freeze on all contracts that weren't already signed. So that's what happened. And so he just didn't call us. And so instead he waited till we were a half hour away from Dulles, Virginia. And that was the longest hour and a half drive back. So that kind of was
like
beginning of our entrepreneurial dreams.
What a bang. I mean, like, it might as well start with a little bit of a heartbreaker. Jeez. Wow. But like the lessons that you walked away with that, like just to see the empire that you and your wife together have created, you know, and just impacted so many people through the two businesses that you guys have just dominated. Like, wow. Looking back on that moment now, how do you feel?
Ooh. You know, it could have been a shorter period.
Right.
I'll keep it real. It took 4 years to get out. I mean, we cashed in. 401k was gone.
Yes.
Savings of a year and 2 months gone. Now we had good credit. Now we're like chopping into the credit, and you're drowning when you can't get a job and no one's doing any business with you because everything has just halted. So now we're into 2009. And now we're like late 2009, people still aren't making any moves. So now you're using your credit cards to kind of float you as much as you can. And you're trying to find a deal here and a deal there, but they're paying $250 or $500, like no real money at all. Mm-mm. And you got this roof and you're like, just keep the roof. Like, I could care less about the damn cars. Just keep the roof. We got a 5-year-old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
amen.
You know, right. You know what that's like.
It changes. It changes when you have a family. No, I totally,
damn right.
totally agree. And it like, you know, for the listeners out there, you know, whether you have children or not, it's one of those things that when it becomes about more than just yourself, it hurts that much deeper, but the joy is that much greater, like all at the same time. That is so incredible. I can feel those moments of just not only pain and sacrifice, but just of now the redemption of being like, yeah, this is what we fought for. This is what we lived for.
Right.
Oh, goosebumps, you guys. So
no,
good.
Both ends of that spectrum, like the unknown and the uncertainty, and then actually going through the process and seeing some outcomes that you can look back at and be like, damn, that's pretty cool that we actually did.
How did we do that? How did we do that? It's so incredible. Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, your recession story really relates a lot to what's going on right now, Mario.
Sure.
So I would love to hear, you know, kind of what you've been doing. There's been a huge pivot in just modern society as a whole. Everything that was concrete is now proven to not. Yep. You're 9-to-5 steady, no worry, no fuss, no muss. Not exactly. So now I would love to hear, you know, what you have been busy with and how you have pivoted in this new kind of opportunity/scary journey coming out of 2020.
Yeah, you know, initially I would say the first thing that I think is the most overlooked thing that actually prepared us for this more than anything that we could have ever foreseen was the mindset training that we had been doing.
Mm.
And the mental fitness, the everything from having a spiritual practice or being a Buddhist practitioner and learning about that and how to the issues of non-attachment and things of that nature. And look, I'm Catholic, you know, so I still pray to God, but I also understand Buddhist deities and all of that stuff. So, but having a spiritual groundedness, having some kind of centeredness, rewriting our affirmations, both our personal and our shared business affirmations. So my wife and I, we do a whole exercise, like a 2-day thing. It's like our own offsite where we actually do business shared affirmations so that we're on the same page with what exactly we expect to achieve and why we're doing it and what the intent is. So I think that centeredness, when it seemed like everybody was going, and we were going crazy too, because it was a scary thing. Anything, but we kind of sat in the middle of this chaos with this kind of overwhelming calm that was kind of weird. At first, I didn't like it because I was like, I feel like I need to be doing something. I feel like it is. And then, that's the yin and yang.
Yep.
And then use your practice, sit and chill, center. And we found so much opportunity in the stillness. And I think because we were still, we were able to kind of see where we needed to pivot. That this, I know people are saying this is only going to be a few months, but let's go ahead and plan for this to be 18. We were saying that back in April. April, May. Let's plan for this to be 18.
How much did you bet on that? You should be making bank by now, brother. No, I'm teasing. But unfortunately, you were right. But no, that's huge how you and your wife not only established that foundation of communication, but established that strength, you know, like any muscle, you got to flex it, you got to move it, use it. And it's not, I think it was in Wonder Woman, and maybe I'm all washed up, but it was, I'm not looking for a battle, but I'm preparing for one should it find me. And it
sounds like a Wonder Woman line. Definitely.
Well, you know, if I could run around with a shield, man, life would be different, but no, it's all good. But preparing yourself to be the shield for you to be prepared for what life is going to throw with you. It's not going to be, a matter of if, it's going to be a matter of when, right? And so whether it's, you know, with your family, with your relationships, with your business, I mean, everyone experienced the calamity of this pandemic.
No, it's true. And we, and look, and the neuroscience, you know, the fact that we were studying some of that, we understood like, okay, what are the default is that our brain is intrinsically motivated to keep us comfortable and to avoid change or things that feel uncomfortable. And that's why we have these physiological reactions when we get scared or we have fear, and it's, you go into the whole fight or flight thing. And so since you know that that's automatically going to happen, you are going to fear angst. Uncertainty will create angst. The unknown will create angst. Knowing that that's going to happen and that the brain is getting ready to start saying, don't come up with any great ideas because it's getting ready to get a little crazy. We need to get stable here.
Yes.
You know that's going to happen. So then you can get in front of your narrative. You can get in front of your own story, your own thoughts. And when you can get in front of your own thoughts, then you can actually be proactive and not and play offense, not play defense. And I think too often, a lot of people were playing defense. They were saying things like, well, we're just going to wait for things to get back to normal. That's a defensive stance. And so we were taking an offensive stance like, no, we think this is the normal and who knows how long it's going to be. So we're going to understand how we can develop our business, tweak, pivot, whatever it is in this time frame. And I'm glad we did that because in the virtual space, we spent a lot of time doing taking our typical keynotes and physical meet. Like I would do 60 events in a year.
Yeah, exactly.
Typically. So all that's virtual. So, okay, what do I need to set up in the house? How do I need to look? What's the camera quality? Plus, I get paid for my engagements when I go on the Today Show. I have a contract that says I have to appear a certain amount of times in a year on these networks. Well, okay, I want to have the right internet. I want to have the right audio. I want to have better video than somebody's basic webcam. Why? Yes. Because I only not only want to look good, I want the producers at these networks to be like, get Mario more because his stuff looks great. And so that increases my exposure, which increases my business.
Absolutely. But you're creating the space to become that person. You're creating that space become that wanted individual. And you're allowing yourself to grow into that role, not because it's here already, but because you are building it. It's like every... True. I don't know, every brick that you put on in a wall, that's so powerful. And I don't know, we're coming up to the Super Bowl. I love Vince Lombardi. And so I think about the fact, like, you know, you weren't searching for perfection, but you were practicing. You were like, how can I do this? And to obtain that, that's one of, you know, Vince Lombardi's hugest things is, you know, practicing isn't going to make you perfect, but perfect practice will. And if it's something that you do every single day and you're like, how can I improve? What can I do to level up? How can I create myself to become that individual that people are searching for? Because whether you know it or not, guys, I'm sure Mario's going to agree with this. They're looking for you. And if you're not showing up, they're the ones being let down. You're letting yourself down and you're letting down the God-given purpose that you were put on this earth to complete.
It's so good. It's true.
Like, I mean, it's just a whole stack of dominoes is falling down.
Yep.
So it's one of those things where, you know, I love how you shared, but not only how you shared it, but you've proven it. Your setup looks phenomenal. I'm a little hodgepodge at the moment. Guys, he's got a great setup. This is exactly hashtag goals. But it's one of those things that when you're leveling up in that way, people can't help but notice. And they will respond in one of two ways. They'll either be jealous or supportive.
Yep.
And so to be aware of, you know, what's going on, whether it's your, you know, co-partners or, you know, anyone else in the following, just know where you're at personally. Remember, you know, figure out what that means to you. I'm here to level up. I'm here to become all I'm called to be. That will be unshakable regardless of whatever anybody else brings your way. So I love that Mario just killed that with his wife. That is so, so powerful with, you know, these new shows and stuff like that, everything going virtual. How was it like to be on the show if some of the anchors were at home too? I've heard of so many shows being like, oh yeah, we've got these people at home and now they're trying to figure it out and the kids run in the office. Like, what was that experience going from like the corporate, you know, phenomenal shows that they are to kind of being brought down to a more human level?
It was that really weird. You? It was really weird. You're used to being picked up in black cars and, you know, you get your air travel or your train travel or whatever. And somebody's there with your name and a sign and you check into the hotel and you hang out. Like, it's like this cool life that you get to have because every, you know, these networks are paying for that type of thing. And like all of that's gone. So that kind of quality, those little perks, if you will, are like out the window. But really, it's not about those perks, right? Like that makes it easy, that makes it stress-free, but it's really about like what's the why. Again, we recentered. Mario, why are you doing what you do? And it's like, oh, because we know that there are a lot of people that are suffering with their, not suffering financially, they could be, but I'm not the money fixer. I'm the guy that's actually being out there to try to help you understand your potential, how you can overcome some of the internal challenges that you're dealing with, but then also giving you some of the tools and the tactics and formulas that we've learned from falling flat on our face several times, but also getting back up and making some big wins and having some big outcomes. And so, you know, my biggest thing that we've really been working on lately is helping entrepreneurs and content creators and really a lot of other people outside of content creation understand how they can get corporate brand sponsorship dollars to fund their ideas. And so that's been a really big cause for us since the pandemic started, because where are you going to get your income from if you are a content creator or if you're doing these shows? We were used to doing shows in these studios, in these big spaces in Manhattan, and now we're like all at home. Well, now that I'm home, that means I also can't travel to a studio where a brand would normally pay me, you know, a certain amount of money to be able to talk about their product in that studio. Well, how am I going to do that in a home situation and make the brand feel comfortable? How can I use that as a learning tool to help other people to figure out how they could also get corporate brand sponsorship dollars for their virtual ideas? And so you'll see things play out. Like I have to wear eyewear. So Zenni is my eyewear company, but it's not just my eyewear company. It's like an athlete with a brand, with a partnership. Like Zenni is my partner in my eyewear. So you obviously see product placement.
I see it is so great.
Sitting right there. I don't even have to mention it. It's just, it's right there. Like he wears multiple different types of glasses because they're affordable and you can go to Zenni.com and check them out. Boom, done.
Heck yeah.
So it's easy to kind of teach people, you know, this is just one additional revenue stream that we had to really lean in on during this pandemic of really trying to figure out how can we take what we would traditionally do out in studios. My show is shot in NASDAQ, like NASDAQ. Like where the bell is, like not NYSE, but not New York Stock Exchange, but NASDAQ, the other stock. And I'm in Times Square. It's a beautiful studio with glass windows. People in Times Square can see into the set. I can see them. We have a set. We have 70 people in studio audience, 6 cameras, and we have a ginormous, it's crazy, a ginormous 80-foot wall that, like, you know what? I'm going to do something I haven't done. I'm going to actually show you.
I'm gonna grab something.
Just oh boy.
I want you to see what's going on here.
Oh my gosh. Yes! The vibes,
that's what
you guys
actually looks like.
That is absolutely incredible.
Football, it's like all this stuff, signage, cameras, people, stage. This is like where CNBC,
the mood, you guys. Oh my gosh.
CNBC shoots their show in that same studio. Like, it's crazy that we're even on that level. It costs us like $40,000 per episode to shoot our show.
Oh my gosh. But
crazy.
Okay.
But I don't have to pay that $40,000 right now. So now I'm trying to figure out how to do a new version of that show from home. So what are we going to do? Are we going to wait till the studios get ready? That's that wait and see. And we waited. We did, but we also started doing other prototypes. We also started doing other experiments, other testing, some A/B tests. So now in about 4 weeks, you're going to see a new version of the show from home. And we've merged kind of like a sports format with personal development and entrepreneurship. And we can't wait to put it out there. We have no idea how it's going to be received, but that's the journey of an entrepreneur. The secret that I've learned from whether it's Warren Buffett sitting in the green room or Diddy sitting in the green room at the Today Show or my partner, Damon John, like any of these people, what they will tell you that they don't want anyone to really know, except Damon, because he's really transparent like that. But they'll tell you like, shh, Mario, don't tell anybody that successful people that you see as success, they don't know what the hell they're doing. They're making it up as they go along.
Human too, Mario.
Yeah, so all your 7 and 8 earners, all your big earners that are listening right now, they're like, damn, Mario, shut up.
Cat's out of the bag. It's not going back in, you guys. And I just love that because I'm close to Dean Graziosi, and that's one of the number one things that, like, I have so embraced in his message and how he communicates to you. It's kind of like, I just realized that you guys needed this. And so, like, yeah, I recorded it this morning in my office, and okay, oh, here you go, here it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, dang, like, he's just, I don't know. It's so beautiful. And I love that about him, but so many times people overcomplicate that in their head. So I love that that's a mission that you have to, you know, really be like, hey, these are the tools that you have. You already have it within you. What the heck are you going to do with it? Are you going to use it or are you not? I guess I would love to know, how did you discover that gift within yourself to really bring that out in other people?
I knew early on that I was great at communication. I knew that I liked to talk, and I knew that I liked to help people. I knew that, like, I was already empathetically wired. Thank God. Like, I was already, like, I didn't have to learn empathy. Like, I knew I was being a bad person, and I know when I'm being a good person. Like, I really know the difference.
Sure. No, I'm teasing. Yeah.
And so, you know, having that awareness of like, oh, Mario, come on. You're not really, you know, so leaning into really being the best that I can be as a human, and understanding how important it is to be just a good human, because this thing in life is a long haul. You're going to have a lot of relationships. People are going to meet you along the way. They're going to end up in other spots. You don't do it just for that. But you, if you do do it, when you do do it and you do it for the right reasons, it comes back to help you like tenfold. Ooh, so
powerful.
Yeah, I mean, when we, you know, I have this saying that goes, you know, you hit the roughest part when it's the easiest time to quit. And it's true to me.
Hits. Wow.
You know, you've hit the roughest part. You may not think it is, but you're like, damn, this sucks. We're at the roughest part. It's so easy to quit when that actually happens. And what I found, to your point, is that when you are a good person, when you keep the vision kind of in front of you and at least be open to experimentation and to try and to trying, too often we don't try because we want things to be perfect. And so we're either worried about fear of embarrassment, or we just really wanted to have a lot of polish. And it's like the only way people can actually support you is if they see you actually putting something out there. But we use the word failure and it slows us down, because if we fail, that looks like a loss, but it's only a loss if we don't learn from it. So in our company, we don't use the word fail. We change it to learn. We don't say failing, we say learning. We don't say we failed, we say we learned. So nobody in the team says that word, because we only fail is if we don't learn from it. And then the other thing that we do is we actually don't even say the word fail. We just use the word experiment. Like, we just, if you take it as an experiment, everything is up for trying and you have no idea how it's going to end up, because it's an experiment. And so all of that to say that when I came up with this quote about, you know, you've hit the roughest part when it's the easiest time to quit, I'm like, okay, well then let's try experimenting with something else. Like, that thing didn't work. That's fine, but let's experiment with something else. And then when you do that, what you're doing is you're building up this muscle of resiliency, because you keep getting knocked down and you get the teeth kicked out of you, but then you get back up and then you get knocked down and you get back up. And as an entrepreneur, that is the muscle that has to be flexed and worked on. You got to get more reps to build up your resiliency. And so I think when I really started recognizing that people were learning from my own journey of being resilient and being transparent in those toughest moments. I was shooting video. I was crying on Periscope. I was doing Facebook Live, pissed off. Why are networks turning my show idea down? Why is this so damn hard? I didn't kill somebody and not tell anyone. I didn't drive over somebody. Like, I'm a good person. Why is this going down this way? It's too painful. And I think through a lot of that transparency for a year and a half of pitching the idea, getting told no, pitching the idea, getting told no, and just letting people see that, I noticed how it was impacting people. And so I was like, oh, my pain and my suffering is actually doing something good when I share it, because the society views the prize more than the process. And I'm showing them the process. Let's hope I get the prize so they can see everything that went through, the commitment, the disappointment, the anger, the angst, the frustration, and see some light out of the end of that tunnel. It just took 3.5 years for them to see it, but they saw it. So I think that really opened me up, and I realized, oh, you have a gift of storytelling. You have a gift of communicating. You can inspire people, and you actually have receipts of stuff that you've gone through that you can now share with others. And you've been fortunately exposed, because I'm backstage at speeches in Hawaii and I'm sitting there with Tim Ferriss, you know, or I'm sitting in the green room with Warren Buffett, you know, and I'm like grabbing his wallet. We're shooting selfies and I'm holding his wallet, having a good time with Warren. It's like those moments, I'm not just kidding around. I'm asking these people 3, 4, 5 questions. I'm soaking. I'm like, it's a mini board meeting when I'm around these types of people. It's not just like, hey, can I get your selfie? It's a mini board meeting. So I can learn what I can in those 20 minutes before we all go our different ways. And so I think, you know, I got on Richard Branson's island. Like I was invited to Richard Branson's island with 20 other entrepreneurs.
Wowza.
Crazy. Like just Branson with an island? Like, I mean, look, there were surfboards in the pool with sushi lined up on the surfboards floating around. Like you're in the pool at this one moment and we're just, I'm like, am I literally eating sushi off of a surfboard in one of his four pools on his island? And it's not to show off or flex or anything. It's just to say like, these are just, when we have a vision for ourselves and we continue to push and we build up that muscle of resiliency, we can actually start to do things that we didn't even see that we could accomplish for ourselves. And I think me showing the journey and the process has helped me understand how I can be a better communicator to those that need to get that jolt or that advice or see that picture and know that it's possible for them. That's when I started taking it serious. Like, oh, I need to turn this into curriculum. Oh, I need to turn this into mini courses. Oh, I need to turn this into free advice. And so that's when I feel like the light bulb really went off, probably about 7 years ago. But as a kid, I knew I loved people and I knew I loved to solve problems for others. And I knew I loved to communicate. And so I would do teaching things. I would teach people how to use technology. I was hosting my own radio show, teaching people how to do tech, like how to use technology. This is like early 2000s. So like I was always communicating and always educating, but I just wasn't like a typical teacher that would do that in a classroom. I wanted to do it on the biggest stages I could possibly be on.
So incredible. And you were already moving mountains probably before you even realized you were. As a child, as an individual, you didn't realize the moves that you were doing already.
So, probably.
So incredible and such a testimony, because it's one of those things that, you know, I feel like the greatest limits lie within our own mind. And, you know, when people are, you know, kind of confining themselves into a prison, you know, before they even give themselves a chance to test, to try, to do, to be, you know, it's one of those things that this is such a testimony and hopefully an inspiration to you guys. He's done it all. He's been in the trenches. He's still in the trenches.
Yes.
And he's just sharing exactly what it's like. Well, and that's just it. It's not like you're done. You're still hustling. You're still doing it and you're showing up. And I think that's the biggest thing people overcomplicate. It's like, oh, I have to have this. I have to have that. Yes, he's got great lighting. Yes, he's got great stuff. But guys, he showed up. That is the most valuable component that he has in his life and business, is showing up every single day in the best way that he can. I mean, that's something all of us can do, right?
Are you kidding me? Like our first season of the show, do I have that? I don't have a picture of that. The first season of the show, we had no, look, all we knew is that we wanted to do a show that was going to help people. We had no resources, no funding. I told you we were out pitching the show idea. I'm already on the Today Show. So they're paying me to be on the Today Show. But even those executives passed on the idea. Hey, Mario, we love you. You're great on camera for the Today Show, but not this idea. Nobody wants to take notes. No one wants to do productive things with their life. They want reality. They want escapism. The Oprah days of taking notes and viewing things are over. That's where their head was. And I'm like, y'all haven't been online. You don't know what's going on Periscope. You don't know what's going on Facebook Live. You don't understand what's happening in small pockets in these communities. You're up in these towers on the 35th floor. You're kind of disconnected. So we had to make a decision. Well, do we rely on the gatekeepers or do we figure out how to do it ourselves? And at that moment, we started calling around to tech companies that had lobbies. And I was like, can we barter your lobby? We'll use it once a week. We're going to shoot our show in there. And then in exchange, I'm going to talk about your product as one of the ads inside of the show. And we called like
hustle,
five companies.
Hustle.
I couldn't afford the studio. It's $300,000 for a studio in New York City. I went to Gary V's place first. And I was like, Gary. And he was like, man, you could, you know, have at it. But he was growing too fast. And the space that we wanted to use was going to be taken up by cubicles. So I'm like, man. So we finally found a place that said, yes, a company called Canary that did like security cameras and web cameras for families. So I was like, oh, this is an easy fit. We could talk about this. So we shot 7 episodes Wednesday nights. We went into that company at 4:00 in the afternoon, shot the show at 7, set it all up, and then close it down by 10. They walked in Thursday morning like we weren't even there. My director was in the damn janitor closet. They can't be out on the floor screaming camera shots and telling me where to go in my ear. We got 60 people in studio audience sitting in hard tin chairs, those tin metal folding chairs. But we had our own little red carpet. We had our own little step and repeat where people could take pictures. We had a little bar that was serving little wine tasting. Like, we tried to make this thing as great as we could as an experience for people, and we're scratching nickels to pull this thing together. And we get a major sponsor that covered 70% of it. Nicole and I put the rest of it on our own credit. And so now we're in debt again, after getting out of debt when we were broke and my mother-in-law was buying groceries 10 years before this moment. And so, like, to revisit going back into debt was a scary thing, but we did it, and it didn't look pretty. And we had cables running all around the floor, and we could have had some lawsuits, and someone could have tripped. Like, we did it. And guess what? That season, we got a year later. So after that season, 2017, we submitted the entries for the Emmys, and then you forget about it because it takes months, and then you hear back, and then we hear back months later, we got nominated for 2 Emmys for that season that wasn't perfect. So just to underscore your point, people launch. Stop waiting for perfection, because perfection does not exist. This is why we live and really ascribe to the whole idea of experiment, because you will always want to evolve. And so to your point, like, he's still in the grind. He's still in the hustle, because we always want to evolve. I don't want to be a complacent creature. I want to leave it all on the table. I want to be like, I want to be like Brady. Like, yo, come on. Yeah. You running back to the Super Bowl and you 40, what? Like, you're leaving it all on the table. You're like not leaving any football left in you. When you're done, you're done. And I don't want to leave anything left on the table when I'm done.
Oh, that's so incredible. Doing what you can with what you have, you guys. It's not making it complicated. It's keeping it simple and being real. I love that you're so transparent about, and you know, your brand has seen it throughout the years. You know, what's the struggle? What's the pain? What's the growth? What's the gain? And I think it's so, so powerful people to realize that seeing on the inside is a huge way to connect to your audience and to really show the, how would you say it? Just your integrity online as well, because there are so many fakes out right now that know there's opportunity, that know that this is the way to get to you through emotional buying. And
that's,
you know,
right.
We don't want predators. We don't want to be preyed upon, but you know, creating that space where you're vulnerable is a huge way to build credibility. And so that's currency right now.
It is. Know? I say this phrase, and I don't know if, you know, it sounds like the intersection is going to happen. Vulnerability is the new currency.
Like, yes, on the same wave, man. Absolutely.
We're locked in. We are so locked in. And, you know, and we're dealing with that like right now. My CEO, CEO Nicole, we call her affectionately, but also my business partner is also my wife. And we're now finally getting into digital products. So for the last 10 years, in order to build the companies that we have, we would go out to corporate brands and sell sponsorships based off of the ideas that we were coming up and generating. And so we would put our decks together, put our pitch together, figure out who the right person is, and then pitch that person, get the rejection, figure out how to handle with no's, figure out the sales psychology, like the whole thing, and then get these brands to buy in to me, the team, the idea, and then do it, then report on it, then get the testimonials from them, and the whole cycle repeats itself. And so we've been doing that for 10 years, and we're like, we should really teach people how to do this as a digital course.
Yes, yes.
But the vulnerability piece comes in right here. Nicole's like, I hate seeing how people pitch their courses. They make you seem like it's going to be only a limited time. And then the week after that, the limited time's not over. They're giving it to you back at the same price. They said they would never do it at before. I don't like it. It all feels scammy and da 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 da. And I'm like, no, Nicole, you don't, like, online education is massive. Wow. We have to do this. And so now we have this tug of war of like, how do we do this with integrity? How do we do this? Because I have to make her feel comfortable.
Yes.
But I also want to do it in that way. I don't want to find myself like working with a team that's got our offers out there and Mario's just doing any willy-nilly stuff and
compromising your moral standards.
Exactly.
Amen.
So we're in this spot right now, and we are about to launch a course in about 7 weeks. And it's going to be all about how you can really use sponsorship to be able to fund your ideas. And we just launched the splash page. Like, you talk about launching dirty. We don't have a whole funnel. I don't have any of that strategy done yet. But all I do know
is your keyword, Mario. It's just yet. It's just yet. You're coming.
All I got to do is go to MarioArmstrong.com/courses. and give us your email. If you would like to learn or would want to know the information when it comes out as to how you can get corporate sponsorship brand money for your ideas. I mean, look, a lot of people go into debt over their ideas. We did too. Most people, you can earn, I mean, you can invest or receive funds in four different ways. You got your friends and family or crowdfunding. You have your institutional lending, banks and loans, things of that nature. You have your personal savings that you can dip into, maybe credit. And then you have VC money. And so those are typically the four sources of raising some capital or getting some money into your business for your ideas. And so many people don't have exposure or haven't learned how to get the fifth one, which is corporate brand sponsorships. And it's all about aligning with the brand.
Yes.
Understanding, do they want leadership authority? Do they want conversion? Do they just want brand exposure? How does your audience connect with their audience? How can you help them in growth areas that they're looking to prioritize? It's all these different things, but then it's who do you contact? How do you contact them? Should you do an email? What's the frequency? How do you deal with the no's that you get? Mario's talking about video letters are better than typical email letters. How do I do a video letter to get their attention and break through the clutter? So all of these things we realize actually was a gift that we've had to fight tooth and nail to keep our companies afloat and survive. Now that we're positioned and we've had success, we can actually teach people how you can do this without the 10 years of pain that we went through to do it. And so I'm really excited about launching that and trying to help people find a fifth avenue for funding that, by the way, takes no equity and has no interest rate on it. You just have to provide metrics.
But you guys, like, listen to what he said here a couple of sentences back. I have results from what we've done. It's not that he's going to start a digital product that he just thinks he's good at and he's going to try to, you know, he has results, and results create that integrity, that credibility, and that currency in turn. And so it's one of those things, you know, so many people are like, oh, you should just try a digital product, or you should just try a digital product.
Right.
What is it backed up by? What experience has it been created through? And, you know, especially in the coaching arena, I hate the word coach, but for lack of a better word,
I know,
considered a coach too. I hate it.
I can't do anything about this. You know, my wife hates this word. And I'm like, honey, I think we have to use it. I just don't know what to do right now.
If you think of a better one, please DM me and tell me what it is.
You do the same, please. Amen. And if anyone's listening and you all got better, like I thought for a minute there, I thought it was mentor. Like I liked, or I thought advocate. I thought
it's better.
But people think they hire you for free. Like, oh, can you be my mentor?
Doesn't
normally come with like a paycheck.
No. I don't know how to fit. We're working on fixing that, you guys. We got to fix it.
Yes.
But it's one of those things where, you know, thinking of great legends like Coach Lombardi, it's one of those things that there are great coaches that had results. There are great coaches that have, you know, and the great leaders of the time, Tony Robbins, Dean Graziosi, Warren Buffett, like we got the list. We got it all. But it's just one of those things that all of those legendary leaders are legendary because of the results they created through whatever it was that they were teaching.
True indeed.
So, as if you're, you know, scared of entering the digital world, ask yourself why. Is it because you're not confident in your product? Is it because you're not confident in the results that you've created? Are they skewed?
Right.
I asked that one twice, but that's okay.
Yeah, right.
But like the biggest thing that, you know, Mario shared was just the, you know, the fear of being like other people online from his wife, where she's like, I don't want to be that sleazy person. I don't want to be the person that's slimy. I don't want to do that. And I love her soul for that. So high five the wife for that.
I'll let her know.
But it's not because you didn't believe in your product. It's not because you feared, you know, creating video content and having it up on Kajabi or whatever, you know, space you would choose. It's because you wanted to make sure that your integrity shined through your course and your product to transform the businesses of other people, creating that fifth stream of income. Oh, I love that so much.
Yeah.
Where can people find you for more, Mario? I have just absolutely enjoyed this interview, but I know people are going to want way more than just this.
Oh, man, that would be so awesome. I mean, look, since podcast number one would be, we have a podcast. It's called Wake Up and Level Up. So you can check that out. It's a very short one. We call this contextual podcasting because it's meant for you to take it in the morning. Some people call it their vitamin M for Mario, but it's Wake Up and Level Up.
It's catchy.
That's kind of cool, right? It's under 5 minutes, and it's just to give you a thought and a jump start usually a story that's got some other takeaway for your day, for you to go and jumpstart your day. So we have that, wakeupandlevelup.com. The new show, the new season for 2021 is coming out, and the first distribution place will be YouTube. There will be other partners that we'll be announcing soon, but go to YouTube, search for Never Settle Network if you want to subscribe, and you can even see some of the story and some of the behind the scenes of all the stuff that we've been talking about in this interview is on a few of those videos there. And then, and then neversettle.tv is our home base, neversettle.tv. So that's where you can find out everything. But of course, if you're on social, Instagram is my jam. That's where I do a lot of free content, lots of stuff. And then Clubhouse, that's become my newest thing.
Dude, we didn't even touch on that yet. Oh my gosh, yes. I have fallen so in love with Clubhouse. I'm so glad that you are too.
Yes, absolutely. And it's so creative. It's really what you make of it. Just think of it like a big South by Southwest conference with a lot of rooms that have different discussions. It's not about your follower count. It's about the topics that you're associating with, or the topics that you decide to offer up into the convention space, into the rooms, and people show up and they find out about it and they find out about you. And then it's increased my Instagram. It's increased other areas of my business just because of this. The discovery on the app is really, really good and useful. And there's a lot of learning that's taking place and a lot of connecting and networking that's really taking place on the app. So I know you're all over it and I know you're enjoying it and killing
it. Oh, it's so good. So guys, if you haven't got on it, definitely do so. And if you don't have an Apple device, hopefully they'll be getting to you guys by May or so, but
that's right.
Yep. I don't know. You know, if it's worth the wait to you, okay, wait, but you know, otherwise we're having fun with it while we can. So, it's been phenomenal network connection and just really creating opportunities to move forward together in this space. I would love for you to leave our listeners with just one piece of inspiration. You know, 2020 was a really fallen down kind of area. You know, if they're trying to get back on their feet, what words of encouragement or wisdom would you share with them before we jump off?
Oh, that's really good. That's really good. I would say, okay. Number one, what I want you to do is I want you to envision a moment where you felt like you weren't going to win and you were up against the wall. And I want you to remember the time that you actually did. I don't care if you were 14 and it was gymnastics. It was a moment where you were nervous, where you didn't think you had it. You didn't know how you were going to do it. And you overcame that thing. I want you to visually see that moment. I want you to see who was there. I want you to see your angst. I want you to see your happiness at the end result. I want you to close your eyes and really visualize that moment, because the point is you've won before and you're in a tough space right now, but you've won before. You're going to be in a tough space again, but you've won before. That's the whole point. You've won before. So how do you tactically move? My bit of advice would be very, very small micro steps of momentum. Your vision might be too big right now, and it's depressing you because you can't do it because you don't have the money or the funds or the resources, or something took a really bad turn, or the pandemic is still killing your business, or now you have to deal with the kids and work from home and something's got to give and you can't give everything all you because you're just flat out done. You're getting private time in the bathroom because that's the only space where you can have 5 minutes to yourself. Like I understand, like, yes. Right? So don't let your mind start to beat you up any more than what the external situation is already doing to you. That which you can't control, by the way. The one thing you can decide to control is this. And so what I'm trying to get you to do tactically is to break down your big vision into very, very, I'm talking minuscule, damn near cookie crumb steps. Because what I want you to do is do one practice with me. Every Sunday, I want you to do what's called the three wins practice. You are going to ask yourself and anybody around the table or on the phone or virtually, you're going to get some people and you're going to be like, hey, I want you to do this with me every Sunday. Mario said we have to announce our three wins with each other. And we don't care what those wins are. They don't have to be Emmys. They need to be a damn win. I got to take a shower in peace. Okay, that's a win.
Hallelujah.
I didn't cry this week. That's a win.
Amen. Like,
whatever the wins are, because what we do know from the neurosciences that we are equipped to know what we haven't achieved, what we haven't gotten, what we still have left to do, what we didn't get done on that to-do list. But what we forget is everything that we actually did. And when I ask people to do it in threes, it's amazing. They'll rattle off two things, but then they're grabbing their phones. Like, what the hell did I do this week? What else went well? Because we aren't wired to remember all the good momentum stuff. So if you take small steps of momentum and then you have a system every week to reward everybody about the small steps you've taken, you will start to build up wins and you'll feel better. You'll see progress. In 3 weeks, you'll look back. You're like, we're getting somewhere. Even in all this crap and in all this chaos, you can still yes. see that you're getting somewhere. And that's all we want. We just want to know that our potential is being seen, that we're being acknowledged, that we're being recognized, that we're being appreciated, and that we can actually see ourselves moving forward.
Absolutely. Not just moving, making progress, you know, not yes. idle moves. It's progress because it's intentional. It's all of those things. Oh, Mario, you have blessed our show so much today. Thank you for your time and thank you for your wisdom. Be sure to catch us on the next round, guys. The Virtually Limitless. We'll have other great leaders like Mario joining us soon. Thanks again, Mario.
And look, before you sign off, please yes. do her a favor. All you Virtually Limitless fans who have not hit that rating button, hit that 5-star. If you got anything from this interview or any of her interviews, I'm doing this for you because
Thank you.
Somebody's got to do this for you. You got to, people, you don't understand. This is important to rate and review. So make sure yes. that you're sharing this out or sharing any other interview. Like, it's so important. I only got 10 people following me. Share it to those 10 people. Will you please? She wants that to happen. She's not doing Thank this you. For the money. She's doing this for the impact. So let's all help her. If you've gotten anything from this, please rate, review, give it some great feedback, and then share it to other people.
Oh, bless you, Mario. I am so humbled. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
and
you got
be sure to check out his show too. This is going to be phenomenal, you guys. But till next time, we will see you shortly and stay virtually limitless.
Peace.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.